ZR Incident Command System is the concept of have, know, do. And it's what does or will a specialist have in advance? What will the specialist, what does he have or will a specialist know in advance and during the incident and after the incident? And what does or will the ZR specialist do, again, before or after? Which now brings us to slide 34. And I skipped a page. Okay, let's go back to 33. Sorry about that. Another thing, now let's think in terms of the have part, the have, no do. We're talking about the have. Have knowledge of critical infrastructure, facilities, home unit. Well, I think we have a lot of that in our members' notebook. Knowledge of the home unit emergency plans. How would you rate us on our knowledge of Mission Viejo's emergency plans?
Talking about city or regions?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, okay. For the city, question, it's a two-part question. For the city, how familiar are we with the emergency plan? I'd say we aren't. If we're supporting our incident commander, you know, we've had the opportunity to observe the command staff and all of the parts of ICS during an activation or during drills for Mission Viejo, but maybe we need to be more familiar of the actual plan and how we fit into it. Yes,
and wouldn't Jay. The emergency plans be based on the type of emergency? And wouldn't those be established by the incident action plan?
No, because a key element here is the incident command system, which is expandable for how big or how small it is, how complex, how many bodies are required, what kind of resources, and so forth. Example of that, use the hospital group. All of the Orange County hospitals operate under what's called HICS, Hospital Incident Command System. And as such, they have their disaster plans. They're required by law to have those in place. And those plans explicitly call or define how the hospital group will participate during any incident. The notification, how the hospital group is activated. And the hospitals do that. The pager numbers, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all pre-established. So it's really not a function of how complex the incident is, or it shouldn't be. Al.
Based on my years of experience, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul Katsimatis as a city interface, as the emergency services coordinator, I do believe by law is required to write up, first of all, a risk analysis of what can happen to the city, a risk analysis. Based on the risk analysis, he writes up an emergency operations plan. Is this correct? Okay. Would it be advantageous for us to get our hands on that thing, the emergency operations
plan? I have attempted to do that a few times.
Okay, so it would be, we don't have it.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe that's an action item for us to consider, is to have a better feel for how do they perceive that we interface with them.
Right.
I'm sure they have something.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Given that the funding and so forth for Mission Viejo in my observation, seems to be kind of generous. Obviously, they've endorsed us. The question is, we need to understand better how they have endorsed us. Okay, moving on quickly. We talked about home unit emergency plans. Again, familiarization with how we are notified, activated, and mobilized. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the next class. That'll be 2 weeks from now. Okay, now, what else is the difference? The specialist has, number one, a go kit or a go bag. And if we don't have one, that's the first step, is to get one. Now, it doesn't have to be really complex, but what, now, one of the handouts that you have there, and I think I got my stuff out of sequence. Oh, well. But one of the handouts is a checklist. There it is. Okay. And I could go to the website to try it, but I think you already have the handout.
Next to the last page is tonight's handout.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, that checklist has three sections. Well, first of all, where is it, Charlie, in our book?
We don't have an individual checklist in our book.
Okay. Should we?
Probably would be good to add this to it, which okay. I made a note of.
Okay.
After well, because your last inquiry, you find it.
Yeah, I couldn't find the checklist this time, but I thought that maybe I just missed it. The checklist that Wayne has provided. Now, all of us have different pieces of equipment. Some of our go kits are small. Some of them are more complex, like Charlie's and Al's. But at any rate, for that, the checklist will expand and contract accordingly. But it seems like it's a good starter to have what Wayne Beringer provided us. On his checklist, notice that there's three major sections. One has to do with position, one has to do with personal, and one has to do with radio. Now, the position items, I didn't pick up on the distinction when I went through the class the first time. But if you think in terms of the position task book that we talked about earlier, position items have to do with the position that you're expected to fulfill, whether it's in the EOC, like on October 6th when we have our SET drill, or it's out in the field. But possibly the position items will be different. Now, thinking back to the original presentation that Wayne Beringer did for us, he talked about his role with the fire services. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he had two roles. One was PIO, Public Information Officer, and I can't remember what the other was. But as PIO, his position checklist included such things as having a computer, having a printer, having plenty of paper on hand in order to do press releases as the PIO for the fire service. Okay, so obviously that would be different for us. Personal items, if we're going to be out on an incident for a lengthy period of time, if you have meds that you just must take, that's important to have. There's a whole list of items there, and you can probably add to the list. Radio support items, okay. Extra batteries. Things pertaining to the radio or radios that you're using when you're out. Moving on to slide 35. Additional have items. Emergency contact list. Where is the contact list again in our manuals?
Title says call tree.
Okay. Emergency contact list called a call tree. And that's section 3-4. From our prior session, you have a table of contents. And so you can be referring to that if you don't have your books. I would suggest, since most of us walk around with smartphones, that section 3-3 is probably also applicable. It's where all the email addresses are. And that perhaps we all ought to have each other's email addresses and phone numbers. So email address, obviously, or phone numbers, so that we can not only call, but we can text each other. Now, looking at the third bullet item on slide 35, incident information from intelligence gathering activities. Now, that has to do with hazards. Anybody know where we have a form that'd be handy to use for hazards in our book? Does anybody have the table of contents handy still from last session? Okay. Now, this highlights something that I've kind of felt was true. We have our notebooks, and Jay's got the super duper notebook that's about 6 inches thick.
A lot of empty pages, a lot of cover.
Okay. But I would recommend that you take a little thin notebook, looks like this, okay? And you cut to the chase, and you only get the appropriate forms handy that you need. Now, included in this, because I was frustrated, I couldn't find, if I had to find things in my 1-inch red notebook fast, forget it, I couldn't do it. But I've got the call tree here. I got the email addresses. I've got position codes. We have the ERD, or what we call the equipment resource list. You got basically all the stuff. Now, this is not necessarily pretty, but you can take a look see. I'd suggest that because one of the things is, in our go kit, we're supposed to have everything we need, all the forms. I would suggest that's part of the go kit, and it certainly would fit well. It's a condensed version. The cut to the chase has all the forms that you need. Yeah. Now, obviously, you got to keep in sync with your main notebooks, but I think we've got to simplify it a bit. Okay, that's 35. Moving on to slide 36. Okay, we need to know if we're going to be a specialist, the organizational policies regarding notification, activation, mobilization. We'll talk about that in the next course more. The operational capabilities of the home unit EOC. Well, I think we're in pretty good shape there, because Charlie's done a super job of documenting all the radios and everything we need to know per radio, and it's right next to the radios when we set up the EOC. Working familiarity with organizational members, we're getting so we know how to work with each other. So we're getting there. What about designated home unit staging areas?